I'm Tanzina Vega, and we're back with The Takeaway. As protests against police brutality and racial injustice continue, books about race and anti-racism have been topping the bestseller lists for weeks. Ibram X. Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist, Ijeoma Oluyo's So You Want to Talk About Race, and Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility are all in short supply.
People are listening to the moment, want to know what they can do, want to know more about history of systemic racism in America and what their role is in any of that. My name is Jasmine Guillory. I'm the New York Times bestselling author of 5 novels, including Party of Two.
Jasmine says that to better understand the wholeness of Black lives, you might also want to consider fiction by and about Black people. But nonfiction books are still a good start.
I think they're certainly useful in their place, but I worry that people think that their only job is to read one book and then that's it. Whereas I think this is a lifelong thing that we all have to do. Reading one book about not being racist is not going to be the whole work that you have to do.
How do you see the role of fiction in this moment?
You know, fiction is often the way we learn about things in the world. Fiction lets you live in the mind and the world and the life of someone else, whether you're a child and reading that in a picture book, or growing up as a teenager and reading about other teenagers like you, or as an adult reading about all sorts of different people and lives that are different from yours, or similar to yours in certain ways, but different in others. And so reading fiction that's not just about white people, people in your own country, but fiction about Black people and Black lives does a lot to change your perspective.
You said reading fiction about that's not about white people and white people's lives. And I just think how much of the fiction I read growing up was about white people and white America. And I wonder how has that landscape changed in your opinion about just in terms of what's available to people today?
There are a lot more books about Black children out there today. They're not as many as there should be. Publishing needs to do a lot harder work on this. There have been studies that show the numbers of books that are about Black children and, you know, getting older, books about Black people that are available. This is part of publishing's job, too, is that they need to put those books out. Bookstores need to make them available. And I think that is something that we're seeing. You know, bookstores have seen the rush on anti-racism books, but there's also been people reading fiction. And so I think, you know, I have seen parents want to buy books about Black kids for their kids of all colors. And I think that's really important.
Also, you know, there is research here that shows that fiction improves empathy. Empathy is something we talk a lot about here on The Takeaway as far as the sort of growing gap in empathy that I see across the country. So how is it that fiction can improve empathy?
People in books make decisions and have experiences that you would not, decisions you would not make, experiences that you have never even dreamed of. And while you live in their head and their world, you understand what they've gone through. And so when you can go out into the world and see other people who sometimes you see them making decisions and saying things that you wouldn't, but you can think like, well, maybe something happened to them that doesn't happen to me, or maybe they came to this from a different perspective. And so it gives you more empathy and, you know, makes you stop and think about other people and other people's lives in a way that can only be good.
One of the things we've also talked about on The Takeaway recently is joy and how people are capturing joy amid the very difficult moment that we're living in. And one of the things that you write a lot about is, or you capture a lot about in your books, is the complexity and joy that lives in many of your Black female characters. Talk a little bit about that and specifically the role that romance novels play in doing that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it is important to recognize, like, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, Black lives don't just matter when we're being killed by the police or when something bad is happening in our lives. Like, Black joy matters too. And so, you know, in diving into romance novels and seeing Black women flourishing and having like jobs that they like and relationships that they like and friends and people loving them, that reflects the joy that I see around me. You know, I find a lot of joy in being a Black woman, in my friendships, in my family, in the children I know. And so I want to reflect that in my books, and I want to read more books that reflect that and have that out in the world. I think people too often think of, you know, racism or Black people in America as a problem, you know, as racism overcoming everything in our lives. And that is not the case. Racism is a problem, and it's something that we should talk about, but we should also pay attention to, like, all of the wonderful things there are about being a Black woman, about being a Black person in America. And so I think romance novels can really reflect that joy.
To your point, so much of our conversation that's happening in the nonfiction world, in the news world in particular, is really looking at the trauma of Black Americans that's been inflicted on Black Americans since the founding of this country. And that is a heavy and necessary conversation to have. But I do think it's interesting that this idea about, you know, just really seeing joy and fulfillment and the entire spectrum of human experience being presented through the lens of Black characters. When you're writing about Black characters in your books, what are some of the things that are most important for you to capture outside of just of joy? What else are you looking to capture?
You know, I mean, some of the things that I'm looking to capture are I love my family. I have a very big, sprawling, loud family on both sides. And that is one thing that I really enjoy capturing in books, is seeing all of the differences of Black families, of Black relationships, and of, like, having the way that we move through the world, right? I mean, being a Black woman in the corporate world or in any kind of job is a distinct experience. And so these are conversations that I've had with my Black female friends about how do I do this? Which is, they'll give me very different advice than anyone else will, and their advice will usually be the right one. And so these are things that I want to capture in my books about the distinct way that it is about moving through the world as a Black woman in America.
Because we don't often know, I mean, one of the things I think when we think about media and media, ethnic media, quote unquote, or Black media, if you will, is that, you know, often white readers or white media consumers won't consume that media because they say, well, that's not for me. You know, that magazine isn't for me, or that show isn't for me, whatever that means. Do you find that the same thing, there's less of that happening in publishing, that people are just picking up books because they're intrigued by the premise and not worrying so much about, or not being as concerned about race, the race of the leading characters, for example?
You know, I think a lot of this depends on the way publishing acts towards these books, right? I think sometimes publishing has definitely spun books as, like, the Black experience, or this is the, you know, these are the books for Black kids. And so I want publishing to get away from that, to show that these are, you know, these are books for all kids. These are books for, you know, all people who want to read a romance. These are people for all books, you know, books for all people who want to read literary fiction. And so, I think it has changed in relatively recent years. I've seen, you know, bookstores definitely treating books in different ways and just putting them out on the counter or pushing books on little kids of all races. But I think there definitely is a way to go, especially in the books that publishing decides to actually publish. So I hope that there will be more of that, of just listening to experiences and saying, this is a great book, and letting those books come out into the world.
Simon & Schuster today just announced publisher Dana Kennedy, who is a Black woman who I worked with over at the New York Times and is now at that imprint. And I'm wondering, at the very highest levels, when you look at the publishing industry, what do you see needs to change? Is that really where the power needs to shift?
You know, I think it is it is something that needs to shift at every level. One of the things that I now know, but I didn't understand when I first got in, is how many different people work in a publishing company, right? Like, there's the publicist, you know, the publishing team, the marketing, the sales team. Like, all of these people need to believe in your book and push it to all of their contacts. And I think that is something that I've heard from a lot of people. Well, the sales team didn't really believe in the book, so Barnes & Noble didn't take it. Or, like, you know, marketing didn't throw a lot of push behind that book, so it didn't get a lot of buzz. And these are, you know, these are the things that need to change. We need more people in all of those teams, and in all of the, like, throughout publishing, to recognize that these are stories that can make an impact for everyone.
Jasmine Guillory is the New York Times bestselling author of 5 books, including The Wedding Date and The New Party of Two. Jasmine, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.